You know, I started my medical shop in late 2001, and when I first opened the medical shop, I had no intentions of ending up at the time, ending up where I am right now in my life as far as my advocacy for ending veteran suicide. I started seeing right out the bat, almost daily, more and more veterans finding their way to my doorstep and just hearing through the grapevine that there was this shop in Olympia that catered to veterans. You know, my Wall of Honor became popular really fast, which is just the wall I had inside my medical facility. I had a artist come in and paint on the top of the wall, Wall of Honor, and below that I would hang photos of my veterans that were my patients who felt comfortable bringing in, you know, pictures from when they were in service. I would put them in frames and hang them up on the wall, and that grew really fast as well, and was really a good conversation piece for when veterans came in, and I got to honor veterans that were my patients. I took that very seriously. You know, there was, when medical shut down in Washington State, there was over 1,000 medical shops, and the fact that I had over 3,000 veterans coming to my medical shop to get medicine was important to me, and I didn't take that lightly. You know, it was they could have gone to a number of any shops, but they chose to come to mine because they trusted me, and I earned that trust. So after seeing those veterans slowly but surely starting to filter through my door, I came across the article that we all came across, that very first article that dropped about the 22 veteran suicides that were happening every day in America. And it really hit me like a ton of bricks. For the first like 24 or 48 hours, I dug deep trying to find if it was a hoax, and it wasn't. With all the information that they had available at the time, that was the best numbers that they were coming out with. We all know, I think everybody on this call believes that that's probably higher than 22, but that's the first study that came out, and it was like the light at the end of the tunnel, if you want, or I don't know how to really explain it, but it just made sense to me that I had these veterans coming in, not all of them, but most of which were on pharmaceuticals. I always go back to Andrew as one of my main veterans that I took care of. He came in on 17 pharmaceuticals, walked in like a zombie, and slowly but surely over a few months got him off of all his pharmaceuticals and over to cannabis. And this pin that we created was a big part of that. You know, you would never see Andrew walking around without his PTSP pin around his neck. And so I saw a need, and I wanted to fill that need. And the need was that we needed to get veterans access to this medicine. And the very first thing that we noticed was that, you know, PTSD wasn't on the list of qualifying conditions. I won't go back into that because I think, Mike, you just said you explained that, how all that went down.
Yep.
Pretty much. And so we got PTSD added. They added TBI to boot. We weren't even asking for TBI. So now for the first time in Washington State history, a victim or a veteran with PTSD or TBI can legally use cannabis without losing their benefits. That was a huge deal. And we did that in the first 6 months of being 22 too many. So we got to work right away as best we could in Washington State. As far as the pen goes, I went to, as you all know as well, the two safest ways for anybody to ingest or use cannabis as a medicine is for vaping or to eat the cannabis. And so went to my CBD farmer, which has 21 trademarks in Washington State, all CBD strains, 21 different CBD strains she has trademarked here in Washington State, and told her, I was like, listen, we need to create something, a security blanket, if you will, for these veterans with PTSD. We need to create, and I said the words, you know, a rescue pin, if you will, for a victim with PTSD, something that somebody can have on them 24/7. I went to her name was Ruby, and we had a long talk I already had the guy in mind that I was going to use for our oil in our industry up here in Washington State. His name for in the medical industry was Dr. J. He was an ACO oil maker, alcohol concentrate oil. And so I got my strains from Ruby and took those strains over to Dr. J. And his name was Jason. And had him turn it in to the oil that we need, brought it back to Ruby. We would put it into capsules. And we determined, or I determined that, you know, it would be nice to have a cartridge for the day and a cartridge for the night. And I am a victim of PTSD, and I felt that, you know, throughout the day, it'd be nice to have that vape cartridge that would keep, you know, have the entourage effect of keeping you elevated throughout the day, but strong enough that if we have a PTSD episode, I could hit my pen and it would, you know, instantly, if you, and any of you use cannabis, it just instantly takes those thoughts out of your head, you know, much quicker than pills can, much quicker than alcohol can. I just knew this to be true. And so I wanted to create the daytime entourage and a nighttime entourage. Of course, the daytime entourage, I think the last pen that we had, I sent those tests out to a few of my guys, but I think we were up near the 50s in the CBD in the test and the high 30s for THC. Of course, we were using the terp profile of a sativa for the daytime. A sativa CBD plant. And then for the nighttime, I have night terrors. I probably have a night terror once a week or once every other week. And using the pen for night terrors to help lure yourself to sleep. And we would use the heaviest indica that we could get our hands on in the industry. And it just so happened that the one that we could get that was most effective through our testing, we ended up getting all the way up to PTSP pen number 5 before the trials were over, which was July of last year. And the only reason they ended was because medical ended in Washington State and it switched over to a retail market. So we legally could not keep going with those studies.
Patrick, so nonetheless, this is Aaron.
Hey,
man, how you doing? So how long did you do these study for? How long did you give out those pens?
Just short of 2 years.
Wow. So a lot of probably collected a lot of data in that time period.
Yeah, and you know what? It was not easy, you know, because asking a veteran or a victim of PTSD to keep a log or a tally or I told him, I go, if you bring me in notes on a dinner napkin, I don't care, but you know, I'm about to hand you 2 grams
right.
of oil, a battery and 2 cartridges and a vape pen for free, and this is all I'm asking in return. All I want is for you to tell me how good this pen is. If it's not good, I want to know. If it's good, I want to know. What time of day you used, I want to know. And like I've told Mike and Aaron before, the biggest thing that stuck out to me was the fact that most of the combat veterans would go to using the night cartridge all day long. The daytime cartridge just wasn't enough for them. And, you know, that's a whole other topic for another day. But some of the tolerance levels for these combat vets with cannabis is out of this world. You know, a story I like telling is when Dr. Sisley came out 2 years ago for us when we hung out for 3 days for Seattle Hemp Fest. She couldn't believe the amount of cannabis that was being consumed by us and our veterans. And she had never seen anything like that before. She was floored. And, you know, I don't know if it's just because it's combat veterans. I don't know that. But what I do know is just what I know from the tests, and a lot of them switched over just to using the nighttime. And I ran out of the nighttime cartridges way faster than the day. Not to say that, you know, I just want to come out with the nighttime because of that study, because we still have to offer the day, because I got a lot of good data from the daytime vape pens as well. But,
Were the daytime cartridges, were those sativa dominant then, I'm guessing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we, you know, another thing I found after owning a shop for nearly 6 years was, and this remains to be proven out why, but land races were really successful that I found during the 5.5 years, just either smoking weed, vaping, dabbing, what have you. When I had strains that were out that were land races, I got more feedback. that it was better. I just don't know if there's something to that. Usually the land races were higher in CBG and CBN, but there's definitely something there to be looked at, and, you know, somebody higher than my pay grade can figure out someday. But the land races, from, you know, the Nigerian Sunshine I had was absolutely amazing for PTSD. The Purple Nepal, the Mazar, I mean, there's quite a few of them. The Purple Nepal, I think I just said that. The,
a heavy indica, heavy purple.
And, you know, I got the idea for Purple Nepal at a meeting with Senator Colwell's. She had the year that we were fighting for PTSD, she had a meeting in the summer before the session to get, you know, find out what all the bills that were going to be dropped for cannabis. And there must have been 80 people in the room, and this big veteran stood up in the room and said that, you know, in the middle of the night, he would choke out his wife and wake up in the morning and not even fucking have any idea what just happened until the day that he came across this strain called Purple Nepal, and it literally saved his life. And he stood up and talked about Purple Nepal for like 20 minutes, and I was like, fuck, I got to find this Purple Nepal strain. And sure enough, it was our best indica for the nighttime entourage in that cartridge. And so, you know, I'm not to say that there's not another a heavier indica out there. That's just the one that we had most success with. You know,
hey Patrick,
the first.
I'm sure there's going to be some questions because I'm thinking about this. Do you have a list that you would share with other veterans on the strains of flower that you've found to be extremely helpful for the PTSD?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Awesome.
I can do that.
And how can we access that? Or maybe we should talk about that on the next call. We can come up with a game plan between now and then. Or
yes, I could, but it really goes with what I was just going to say next, and that is this first cartridge, these first day and night cartridges that we're going to put out here in July aren't going to be this, you know, I'm going to be numbering each cartridge that goes out. So the very first group of pens go out, they're going to be 22 Too Many Rescue vape pen, whatever we come up with for the name, number one. And then when we make a new batch from a new set of strains, that's going to be number two. And they're always going to be numbered, you know.